We welcome you to a special edition of the Emmaus Bible Hour. The subject is Guide to Christian Growth, and your instructor is C. Ernest Tatham, one of the founders of the Emmaus Bible College. Yes, this is a special program of the Emmaus Bible Hour. Gather your family around as we open the Bible and discover what God has to say to us through His Word.
Hello, my Christian friends. How good it is to be together again today for another session in Guide to Christian Growth. Now, I earnestly trust that you've been going over the ground thus far covered, and that you have been doing the tests and getting them into the school for grading, and that you've already surveyed lesson number 4. You know, we should do these lessons, or at least we should look them over ahead of our class sessions. And I'm taking it for granted that you have scanned over at least lesson number 4 that deals with the subject of good works. A very practical lesson it is indeed. Now, I want you to turn with me today to 2 New Testament texts. Titus chapter 3. The little book of Titus, over toward the end of the New Testament, getting on that way anyhow, Titus chapter 3, and I want to read verses 5 through 8. Titus 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Now the other passage I want to read with you is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These two great passages emphasize the fact that although the Christian is not saved by his good works, he is saved in view of good works. In other words, merit and effort are not the procuring cause of salvation, but rather the fruit of it. I like the way the poet has put it, don't you? We should memorize these little lines. I need not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave in love to God's dear Son. You see, you and I have been brought to God, and we become the possessors of salvation wholly through the mighty work that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished when on the cross of Calvary He settled the sin question to God's eternal satisfaction. No one can add the slightest contribution to that work. On that cross, the Savior cried before He died, "It is finished." In fact, in view of that wondrous work of sin-bearing, he said in John 17, in an anticipatory way, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now then, those of us who have come into the wonderful benefits of that work, have had our sins forgiven, been made the heirs of eternal life, children of God, it is incumbent upon us to manifest the new life and to express our appreciation to our God and Savior by a life that is marked by good works and fruit-bearing. Turning to the Sermon on the Mount as recorded in Matthew chapter 5, I hear the Savior saying in verse 15 and 16 these words, Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here the Savior likens believers to a candle. And he says that a candle, in effect, is not so much decorative as it is functional. A candle's function is to give light. Now, the Lord spoke of the light being mounted on a candlestick. I'm sure that this suggests a consistent Christian life. Then he warns against the danger of putting the candle under a bushel. Now, in the parallel account in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 21, the Lord added a further metaphor. He said, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? And then Luke, in his account, found in his Gospel, chapter 11, verse 33, adds still something more. He has the Lord Jesus saying, No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now, here he warns against the danger of the misuse of the candle by putting it in a secret place. I suppose that this might suggest the danger of settling down and neglecting the gift that is within us, you know, and just neglecting our Christian obligation. But then the bushel is something a little different. The bushel is an instrument of commerce. It stands for business. And what a danger there is in the believer allowing his light to be smothered by the bushel of busyness. You know, one of the greatest dangers, I suppose, that confronts us as believers is not perhaps outright excessive ungodliness, but rather the overattention to things which in themselves are quite lawful. Now you think that over. I said one of the great besetments that faces each of us is giving overattention to things, objectives, and pursuits that in themselves are quite lawful. Take, for example, business. Now, the New Testament has a good deal to say about the importance of the Christian being diligent in business and fervent in spirit. We're to provide things honest in the sight of all men. We're to live righteous, God-glorifying lives. But you know, the Christian that gives an excessive amount of his time to business, and he's so busy that he cannot meet with the Lord's people. He's so busy that he cannot pray or read his Bible or witness for Christ. Ah, his light is under a bushel. You know, a very successful Christian businessman said to an old servant of the Lord one day, he said, "You know, Mr. Preacher, when I came to this town first years ago, I had one little store. Today I have five of them." The old Christian looked at him and said, "I don't know whether to congratulate you or not." He said, "You know, five stores sounds to me like a pretty big bushel. Be careful that it doesn't put out your light." Then the Lord warned against the bed. Now, if the bushel is the busy Christian, I suppose the bed is the lazy Christian. And we need to beware of both of these dangers. So the Lord spoke then of the light from the candlestick and from the candle as being suggestive of your good works. "Let your light so shine before men," said he, "that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The old Sunday school song puts it so beautifully. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. He looks down from heaven to see us shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. Now you'll notice that our lesson today suggests some very practical ideas as to how we may be fruitful in good works for our Lord. We're reminded of the importance of visiting the sick, the aged, the poor, the outcast, victims of calamity, and caring for one's own family. As a matter of fact, we're called upon in Colossians 3:17 to do whatsoever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It may be some mundane task. It may be the routine, the humdrum of life, the shop, the office, the school, or the home. But whatever it is, let's do it as unto our Lord. Ah, this is the Christian message. The Lord wants us to be fruitful in whatever we do, and to do it heartily, not unto men, but unto him of whom it is written, even our Lord Jesus Christ, that he went about doing good.